Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Damien Misso, the General Manager of Professionals Woody Point. Damien is going to share with us his background in real estate, what it was like growing up in a family devoted to the industry. And Damien will share with us the challenges he's faced with leading a 60-year-old real estate business into the 21st century. But before we catch up with Damien, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Console, Australia's leading real estate agency software, offering property management, sales management, property data, and website solutions. Let us help you grow your business. Visit www.console.com.au.
So this week's discovery is a new feature that Facebook have just released for any of you who are advertising on Facebook for your business. When you're creating ads, you'll know that you have to choose an objective, and some of those objectives might include getting people to click through to your website, getting people to engage with videos that you've published on Facebook, getting conversions on landing pages and things like that. Well, there is a new objective that Facebook have just released here in Australia called local awareness ads. And essentially what this does is draw a map around the address of your office, and you can start targeting ads to people within a certain radius around your business. So it could be very useful if you're running certain campaigns any time of the year and you need to focus on different streets. You can move that map around to focus on different areas of your community as well. And it's just an effective way to really just get a little bit more specific about your targeting. And what you can then do is apply other filters to your ads as well, things like age group ranges and genders. And then you can apply all your other general filters that you would usually apply when you're creating an ad. So certainly encourage you to check that out if you are creating ads on Facebook for your business. It's a great new tool. We're trialing it at the moment for a few businesses and just for creating awareness around their Facebook pages and things like that and seeing some great results. So go to facebook.com/business/a/local-awareness. And if you don't want to have to remember all of that, you can go to the show notes for this here podcast or jump onto Google and just type in Facebook local awareness ads. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Damien Misso, the General Manager of Professionals Woody Point. As a second generation real estate agent, Damien is immensely proud of the reputation their business has developed in the marketplace over the past 30 years. Having bought and sold real estate in the area personally and overseen the sale of hundreds of local properties, Damien and the team at Professionals Woody Point are able to provide valuable experience and empathy to their clients throughout their move. Damien, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, I've given our listeners just a little overview, Damien, but take a minute, tell us a little bit more about you personally and then give us an overview of your business.
Thanks, Josh. I'm the third generation in my family to work in the Redcliffe area. My grandfather brought his family out in 1956. Mm-hmm. And when they moved to the area, they're actually greeted by the mayor at their front door, which I thought was a nice touch.
Okay.
My father's a real estate agent and has been since 1980. And I joined our business in 2004. Our area is, for those who don't know where Woody Point is, we're about half an hour north of Brisbane on the Redcliffe Peninsula. And we're about an hour to each coast, Gold and Sunshine Coast. There's about 52,000 people that live in the area across 26,000 dwellings. And the median sale price for houses is around $400,000, and for a unit, it's about $330,000.
And with a last name like Misso, Damien, is it any relation to Trilby Misso?
Yeah, Trilby was my granddad. So, yeah, he started the legal practice, which has now been sold. But, yeah, he's was a bit of an icon in the area.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, a little bit of trivia for those of you playing at home who are listening. But for people who aren't familiar with the Redcliffe Peninsula area, Damien, can you describe what the real estate market has been like over recent years and up to today, and And you describe the typical home that you sell or manage, and maybe a little bit more about the team and the office there at Woody Point.
Yeah, sure. So Redcliffe's an area that's transforming. It had a bit of a stigma when Dad was growing up. In the 50s, he used to tell people he lived just north of Brighton because he didn't want people to know he lived in Redcliffe.
Okay.
Used to be referred to as Deadcliffe. And even when I was starting in real estate in 2004, people who I told that I was going to start in real estate said, why would you go and sell houses out there? That's terrible. But the area's really started to transform since the late 90s. We had a council that was very proactive, updated a lot of the community facilities. I mean, it's a very beautiful area. We're surrounded by water. And in the early 2000s, our market really boomed. People from New South Wales and Victoria saw what we had on offer, how close we were to the city and the airport and the price of property. And property prices from 2000 to 2010, the median sale price grew. For 10 consecutive years. 2010, the market hit the brakes a little bit after 5 interest rate rises in a row. And then over the next 18 months, we were on a bit of a slippery slide where the prices corrected. 2013 and 2014 saw the market be normal selling conditions, so neither a seller's market nor a buyer's market. Mm-hmm. And now in 2015, we're starting to see prices improve and a real tightness around the levels of stock. And a lot more multiple offer activity and people bidding above asking prices and those sorts of things. So the signs are very good.
Oh, that's fantastic. And a little bit about the office there at Woody Point, Damon. How many staff have you got there today?
So we've got 12 in our team. Our business is going through a little bit of succession. My dad's in his early 70s, as is our senior property manager. We've got a new sales team. And, yeah, so it's a business which is going through succession, and we're feeling a little bit of the pain that happens with that.
Growing pains, no doubt, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we're in the process of merging 2 offices into one. Our sales and rental department are 300 metres apart, which does present some challenges. So we're building a new facility, which is really exciting, and we're going to bring everyone back under the one roof again, which is going to be great for our business.
Well, Damien, having spent some time with you, I know that you've grown up with real estate in your blood, and with your father having been in the industry for so many years and continues to be a part of the business today, did you always think you would end up in real estate?
It's funny you ask that, Josh, because it was the furthest thing from my mind growing up. It's really funny how kids think. I hated real estate and I hated the Redcliffe Peninsula because they were the two things that Damien, as a young child, saw that took Dad away from watching me play cricket and spending time with me, because Dad worked really, really hard. He was sort of gone at 7 o'clock in the morning, home at 9 o'clock at night. And it's funny now, I've got a friend of mine who's just bought a Red Rooster franchise in Newcastle, and his young daughter is exactly the same. She's saying she hates Red Rooster and hates Newcastle because as a kid, you think, well, why is Dad not around? Yeah. And it's not till you grow up you realize, well, he's working really hard to provide for me. So I think there's a lesson in that for people with children, is just make sure you're around to spend some quality time with your children growing up. So it wasn't until just before my 21st birthday that I thought of getting into real estate. I was working in a gym selling gym memberships. One of the girls on the gym floor said, well, you're about to turn 21. Are you ready to answer the question you get asked when you turn 21? I didn't know what that question was, and she said, well, what are you doing with the rest of your life? It was like one of those fisherman's friends ads, you know, where you get slapped in the face with a frozen fish.
Yes, yeah.
So over the next couple of weeks, I sort of looked at myself and thought, well, I like dealing with people. I like selling. And then the penny dropped. I said, well, Dad sells houses. He sells something worth a little bit more value than a gym membership. Spoke to Dad. I said, well, Dad, if I go and get a degree in business, majoring in marketing and management, will you give me a job? Dad, like any good father and businessman, said, well, go and get your degree and then come and talk to me. And I guess the rest is history. I finished my degree, and pretty much day one from leaving the degree, I started in the business.
It's a fascinating take on, you know, really that, you know, that relationship between the parents and the kids who grow up around real estate. It is quite a demanding industry, Damien, and you know, you were definitely part of that in your earlier years. I know for a fact when I was growing up, my dad travelled a lot internationally and wasn't so much around for the very early years and that sort of thing. And it was not until you start to sort of get a little bit older where you realise why they were doing that, and you start to appreciate it a little bit more. And it's something that you aspire to do as well. But I think it's an important point to try and find that healthy balance between, you know, how much time you're dedicating to work and how much time are you dedicating to the family side of things. And it's a difficult balance, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's also a lot easier now with technology. Like, we can talk on our mobile phones, we can access our work from pretty much anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Dad's era, before the internet, before mobile phones, everything was done in the office. I mean, he had his home phone on business cards. People used to call him at home because if you weren't at work, you had to be at home. So it's a lot easier now, I think, to be able to mix business with your personal life just through technology.
Mm. Great point. Well, having taken on the role of general manager more recently, what have you found to be the most challenging aspect of that succession process as you are now leading the business that has been led by your father for so long?
To be honest, Josh, the whole process has been challenging. It's, Dad's idea of succession up until very recently was one day he's going to die and then the next day I'd take over the business, which is kind of quite scary. But we met late last year and we sort of sat down with a consultant and set out the business plan. And I guess sort of reflecting on the challenges that I've had, I've broken the challenges into four parts: legacy, leadership, systems, and our generational differences. So the legacy of our business is, our business has been there since 1953 and there's only been three owners till now. My dad being there since 1980. So there's pretty big shoes to fill. And a lot of the pressure probably comes from myself rather than dad. Dad's obviously proud of me working with him, but I feel, well, I've got something to live up to and something to follow. And dad and I are both very, very different. Dad's a real bull personality. He's probably the best salesperson I've ever met, and I'm different to that. So it's taken a mind shift set difference for both of us. Dad had to let go a bit and I had to step up the plate. The leadership component was tough as well, because a lot of Dad's sales team were similar age to him when I started. They were all in their 50s and they'd seen me as a scallywag schoolboy who dyed his hair on school holidays and those sorts of things. And then all of a sudden I was starting working in the business and I was suggesting, well, there's perhaps different ways we could do things with technology and systems. And it took me a long time to earn their respect and show them a different way. So that was a battle. A lot of that sales team and a lot of those team members have left over the years. And I think now we've got a really, really good team who are willing and wanting to learn and grow with the business, and also who buy into the bigger picture. The system side of things was tough as well, because Dad hates computers. He doesn't have a computer on his desk and he's always complaining about his mobile phone not working because he's got that little sidebar on the iPhone sort of on and off, and he says it never rings and there's always something wrong with the phone. And he's used to the card system. So to get him to invest in technology was really hard. Every implementation and change I've wanted in the business, I've had to be a really good salesperson. I've had to go and show him how we're doing it, show him how there's a better way, and then ask him to spend money. So that's been tough. And the final thing, I think, is there's such a generational difference between Dad and I. Dad's from the silent generation. So he was shaped by parents who lived through the First World War, the Great Depression, the Second World War. And I've been born into a world which is prosperous and abundant, and, you know, apparently it's not abnormal for people my age to move house three times a year, whereas his generation, they'd sort of buy one house and live in it for their whole life. So there's so many differences between us. And I guess it's something I'm going to have to learn as well, because apparently the millennials, half the millennials would be prepared to give up their sense of smell before they'd give up technology. So it's something we're going to have to take on board as we grow as well, because there can be people after us who are very different to us.
Interesting point. And for some of those changes that you have made, what are some of the really big fundamental, like the big shifts in whether it be marketing or technology that you've made in the transition to become general manager?
Investing in an exchange server. We were on a peer-to-peer network, which presented lots of problems. So, you know, there was a $40,000 or $50,000 investment at the time. changing property management software. We were using, I can't even remember the name of it, but we shifted to Console, and that was a sell job as well. And then also changing the way we manage property management. We were a task-based business, and now we're a portfolio business. So, to change those fundamental things, it was a big mind shift for Dad, and lots of heated discussions over, some months to get across the line.
Well, Damien, I want to now turn the spotlight onto moments of your career that have made you who you are today. And we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded in your career. Can you, with that in mind, can you tell us a story? Take us there with you of a moment in your journey where you felt like you'd failed. Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
The struggles are pretty easy to share, Josh, because they're pretty current. I'm on the back end, I believe, of the worst of them now. The last 3 years have been really challenging for me, both personally and professionally. I've gone through a divorce. Dad and I had a business partner who's left the business and opened up a business in competition to us. I've had a number of key staff leave after being in sort of 15 years plus in the business. They've retired. We've changed a lot of systems and had a lot of pain with the sort of the financial management side of the business that was run in a paper-based system. We've transformed that to computerized systems. More recently, I had a mass exodus of our sales team. Succession into Dad's role has presented pain. We're planning succession in our property management business. We're in the process of building a new office. And also more recently, my mum's starting to go blind and I'm an only child and had to deal with that. So all of that stuff has happened pretty quickly. And it's not those things that knock you down. It's the little things that happen after that that sort of hurt you. There was I've had that going on in the background. And then just recently, we've had a couple of contracts just where we've had problems. They're unconditional contracts and we've had some grief with them. One was a mistake of my own. I didn't advise my sellers about the terms and the conditions as well as I could and end up costing me personally a couple of grand in rental, paying them some rent because they had to move out and it didn't settle on time. And I remember saying to Dad when a few of these things that you thought were sort of, for want of a better word, money in the bank, they were the good things, when they start to turn sour as well, you start to go, well, when is this going to end? And I asked that to Dad. I said, look, this is just ridiculous. Like, we've just had a run of kick in the gut, kick in the gut, kick in the gut. When is this going to stop? And Dad said, it never really stops. He says, you're always going to have kicks in the guts and whatever knocks you down, you just get back up. And as long as it doesn't kill you, you're going to grow, you're going to be stronger. So I see now the pain that we're going through in planning the move and the succession and I've just got to remain positive because I know where we're going, that no one can take away my dreams, no one can take away the vision. And as long as each day we're moving a little bit closer, when we get there, it's going to be great.
Is there one particular day, Damien, that sticks out in your mind of the last however many years, one day that you thought, you know what, real estate maybe isn't quite for me, or, have I made the right choice here?
It's hard to say one because I've probably had many. When Dad and I have been fighting about different things, you think, what am I doing this? Because it's not only is it your boss, it's your father. Mm-hmm. And you go, I don't want to hurt the relationship with my dad over business. So at times I've thought, I'm not getting anywhere with him. I'm just going to throw it in. And I've even said that to him. I've given him a letter of resignation when things were going really tough.
Take us there with you, that moment where you handed that letter of resignation to your dad. What was that like and how did he take that and how did that make you feel?
That was late last year. It was about November, right, really. Right. It wasn't that long ago. And none of our staff know that, but they will now. it was more around there was no description of our job roles. We were double handling things and it just made me really annoyed because I'd say we had a complaint and I'd handle it. I'd do Dad the courtesy of saying, hey, there was an issue. Here's what I've done, just so you know. Then Dad would write to them and sort of say something different and it would really frustrate me. I'm like, why are you doing that? It's been handled. It's been sorted. They're happy. you don't need to add your 2 cents now. And then we'd fight about just little things. Dad tends to dwell on the past a little bit, which frustrates me. So I just handed in my resignation and he goes, "Oh, that's ridiculous. I don't accept it." I go, "Well, you're going to have to because I'm leaving in a month." And it was a catalyst actually for us to get in a consultant to talk to us. And it's probably a blessing in disguise really, because it was something that made us take some action. We took some action, and ever since we had that meeting where we planned, well, what's our vision for the business? What are the chunks along the way, what are the little points along the way that we need to do? Now that we've got the plan and Dad can see the plan, he's just let me go for it, which has been great for our relationship.
Well, that's a great story, Damien. Thanks so much for sharing that too. I appreciate that, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. That breakthrough moment, even though it was quite recent, for that to happen and then for everything else to just flourish from there on in, I think is a great takeaway for anyone listening who's going through that time, is to sit down and maybe talk about it, maybe not write that letter of resignation, but maybe have a chat to the principal of the business, or whether it's your partner or whoever it may be. And there was always light at the end of the tunnel, as you've proven. Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to grow a real estate business? And again, take us there with you of an actual moment that stands out, a day in your career. What happened? What was going through your mind? And how did that make you feel?
This is a really hard one for me, because I don't know whether it's just me or, I mean, probably people look at me and think I'm successful, but I don't see myself as being successful just yet. I see myself on a journey there. I think that's probably a question I'll be able to answer better, I reckon, in about 18 months' time. I mean, our business, I believe, has been running okay for the last 10 years, but we've faced some challenges that I think most real estate businesses don't face. Mm. I mean, we've got a brilliant location and a brilliant history for our business, but our building that our sales department runs out, I reckon, is one of the worst buildings on the peninsula. Our roof leaks, our floor wobbles, you can see through walls. We don't have a waiting area for customers. We definitely don't look number one from the road. There's a line Tom Panos says about having a mindset for your vendors that online and offline have to be in line. Mm. And I think we do some great things online, but when people see our business in the street, they go, "What's going on there? They look like they're stuck in the 1950s. Mm. So I'm really excited about the fact that we're building a new facility. And I mean, not that building a new facility is the solver of all problems, but I think it's going to make a statement in our area. It's going to show our staff that we care. It's going to bring everyone back under the one roof. So we go from being a sales department and a rental department to being professionals, Woody Point. And just being able to look number one from the road, I think will have a huge impact in our business, and people will start to get, well, they're really good online and they do some great things, but they also look sharp and, well, you know, we've got a waiting area. What a concept.
Would you say that getting that third-party consultant in at that point in time, late last year, Damien, would be a success moment for you, where you thought, look, you know, this has given some clarity to me and my father and the rest of the team, and we can see the end goal?
Yeah, I mean, the consultant was Glyn Morgan, who's a former CEO of Professionals, and I chose him because not only did he know our brand and know our business, but he was across the industry. He knows how the best in the business work, and it's really good to measure yourself against the best. I've always wanted to do that. I've always associated with leaders in the industry because they make you run a bit faster. They show you a way, and getting some clarity both of what Dad wanted from the business and what I wanted from the business, measuring our numbers against industry standards as well as the leaders, was a great exercise for us and got us to sort of get out of the fog, you know, jump up into the helicopter and have a real look at our business. And from there, not that we're executing the plan perfectly, we've made some changes and we've got direction. We know where we're going, and some of the changes that he suggested for us, I mean, he said we need more salespeople. We went on a recruitment drive and hired 3 salespeople. If we hadn't have done that, and our three salespeople left at the same time, it'd be just me. So that change alone was crucial for us. And I know now that I've got to continually be recruiting and continually looking for talent.
Yeah, I think it's an important takeaway for people that it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame, and everyone's heard that saying, and it's a popular one because it's so true. And just getting a third party in to have a look at your business from the outside in, like you said, jumping in the helicopter above the fog to have a look at the business, I think is a valuable lesson for everyone. But I'd love to have a chat to you about your marketing initiatives, Damien, and the three biggest challenges that every person in real estate faces when marketing their services is either creating awareness of their brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty and advocacy with their current clients. Can you give our listeners an overview of your marketing strategies, technologies, and philosophies behind solving some of these challenges?
I think, Josh, the hardest thing now for businesses is to cut through the noise and to stand out and be different. And we, like a lot of businesses, have got a bit to learn here. I think real estate agents tend to copy each other. And, I mean, do we have a marketing plan? Well, sort of. Like, we do a number of things, probably could be better structured. I think one thing we do quite well is a quarterly market report. We send that to our database, to past sellers and buyers, to our landlords and people who we've got in the pipeline. We've got newsletters that go out monthly. We blog three times a week at iloveredcliffe.com.au, and we've got a non-branded Facebook page, 365 things to do in Redcliffe, as well as we've got a library of sort of videos of frequently asked questions on YouTube and those sorts of things. So we've got a lot of content out there. We probably need to be better at helping that to connect with our community, and some of the work we've done with you is really identifying with our customers what's important to them, because I think we've, like most businesses, have fallen into the habit of dumping information that we think is relevant to our customers out there, but is it really what's important to them? So that's the next chapter in our journey, is really trying to identify with our customers what's important to you, what's a community issue, what's something that we can write about that's going to help you, and I think that will help our engagement.
Yeah, I think it's a valuable point that you make, Damien, and you do have a lot of content. There's very few people that produce the level of content that you guys do, and I think it's important that the lesson here is it's not about how much content you produce or the quality of your content that is even most important, but it's actually insight. And, you know, what is, like you said, what is valuable to the community, and how can we deliver content or marketing that people genuinely want to receive, not so much what the agency thinks they need. And you're right, I do agree with you that a lot of agents do copy each other, and it tends to become pretty much the same across every website and that sort of thing. But take us a little bit into the idea behind the 365 things to do in Redcliffe, where you got that idea and the kind of thing that you're posting on that Facebook page.
Oh, well, I copied it from 365 things to do in Austin, Texas. I think they've got nearly 200,000 followers. And when Facebook started, I can't remember, 2007, 2008, I was one of the early adopters, and I saw there was an opportunity there to communicate with customers in a different way. And I made the mistake starting by just dumping listings on there. And then I thought about it and I thought, well, it's not really the place to dump listings. If people want listings, they'll go to realestate.com or they'll go to your website or they'll go to domain or something like that. So, well, we started blogging. And to blog three times a week, it's a lot to think about. Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough to write a newsletter once a month, let alone to write something three times a week. And I sort of got stuck in, well, how am I going to shape these blogs? So you've got to write a little bit of real estate, sort of talk about interest rates or new infrastructure that's coming to the area or something along those lines. But there's also got to be stuff in the community that can help people. So I thought the 365 things was a really good way to shape it. What are some things that we can do on the peninsula that people are like doing, whether it's go to the dog park, whether it's go have a coffee at a particular restaurant? And it's helped me to connect with different businesses, because I've been able to go and say, look, I want to showcase your business. What's good about coming here? You know what I mean? So it's helped me connect with people on the peninsula in a way. I'm giving them something, giving them their opportunity to write about their event, to do something for them and not ask anything in return.
How long's the Facebook page been running for now?
2009, I think.
Wow, so almost six years. So yeah. Three blogs a week, and you have someone externally, a third party, help you write some of that content as well, correct?
That's right, yeah. So she basically does most of the research now. If there's someone connects with me and says, hey, I'm doing this event, I'll shoot it across to her with the details. She'll pretty up the content and make it sound proper.
Yeah, so a lot of people listening are thinking, look, that's a lot of work. So three blog articles a week, you're posting all of this content on this Facebook page, and most people, Damon, they get to a certain point, they hear someone say, look, blogging is important or social media is important, engaging with people like you are, not posting their listings. And they're thinking, look, that's a lot of work. And they get a month in or 2 months in or 3 months in and they stop. And that is 99% of most agents, and that's what they do. What would you say to people listening who are thinking, look, I'd love to contribute that amount of content, but I just don't have the time, or, you know, why would I bother? You know, I'm good at listing and selling property. Why would I bother doing that sort of thing? What would you say to someone like that, do you think?
Work a way for someone else to do the legwork. Salespeople are great at talking to people. They're good at listing and selling, and property managers are great at managing property. They're not necessarily great content writers. Mm. So try and find a way that process can be automated. You need to oversee it. So I run my eye across all the blogs to make sure that it's something that's correct. And I've made some mistakes with blogs that aren't correct. So I run my eyes across it. I mean, Kat is wonderful. She just, each week, like clockwork, three blogs come to me. I have a look at them and it gets done. Mm. So there's that consistency. And like anything in real estate, it's about consistency. It's you can't do one letterbox drop and expect to get 10 listings. Mm. It's that consistency over a period of time where people start to recognize, they start to relate to you, and then once they relate to you, they can trust you, and then they buy from you.
Yeah, I've got a little saying, Damien, that do what you do best and invest in the rest. And I think when it comes to especially content writing, a lot of real estate agents, like I said, most of them aren't doing this. Most of them aren't writing valuable content and adding value to the lives of the people in their community. You guys have been doing it for a long time, and it's going to take your competitors a long time to catch up if they ever want to. So, I think it's a valuable lesson that sort of thing doesn't have to be always done by yourself. And I think what you're doing is a really great example of that. But when I was catching up with you just recently, you mentioned a particular Facebook post that went viral a little while ago, a few years back, something about a local development that was happening. Can you enlighten our listeners as to what happened there and a little story behind that one?
The lesson is always know your geography 100%. The Redcliffe Dolphins were proposing a retail development.
They're a football team, correct? The Dolphins?
That's correct. Yes, yeah. And they were proposing a development taking over some old football grounds. And to use the example that was on the left-hand side of the Redcliffe Dolphins, I said it was the parks on the right. And as soon as I posted it, within 12 hours, people were on it, because it went in the newspaper as well. I sent a letter to the newspaper as well. I thought, well, this is going to get me out there, so I'm going to write something a little bit controversial. And I had to take the post down because I made a mistake. If I'd have got my geography right, I could have left it up there and it would probably still be getting written about. Mm. So it was a good lesson in that if you write something controversial, people will notice it, but make sure you've got your facts right. People discovered my blogs, and I mean, there were some people who approached me who are business owners in the area and said, good on you for writing that, good on you for having an opinion. But then there was a lot of people who said, you know, I think it's great for the area, check your facts. So it stimulated a lot of talk. It got people to know my blog, but I made a mistake and I won't make that mistake again.
Great lesson. Well, Damien, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the Steps Real Estate Industry Social Media Survey, We interviewed real estate professionals from all around the country about how they use social media right now. We found that 77% of real estate agents in Australia are not able to measure a return on investment in social media. Considering how much time people spend on social media, something else that we measured in the survey, I think it's a timely reminder to consider if social media is actually returning an outcome for your business, or are you just on there because you think you need to be? I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Damien, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
I'd have to say my father, even though we've fought like Kilkenny cats for many years. I think anyone who can remain profitable in real estate in the one location for 30 plus years is a weapon.
Yes, absolutely. Great point. What is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Now, if I'm not spending time with my gorgeous partner, Dorota, I like to watch Arsenal and the Broncos play.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Look, to be honest, I'm not the best reader and that's something I've wanted to improve, but I have just read Daniel Hayes' book, So You Want to Be a Real Estate Superstar, from cover to cover, a fantastic read, and it has to be good for me to read it cover to cover, so thoroughly enjoyed that.
And for our listeners who haven't read it, Damien, what's the book all about?
It's a warts and all story of Daniel's growth in the real estate industry. He talks so openly about his personal life and the troubles that he's had and, the voices in his head, which he calls the itty bitty shitty committee. And it's, you can relate to it because, again, this guy's just put it all out there and said how it is. He's pulled no punches.
We should try and get him on the show, Damien. We should make that happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What is your favourite technology resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
Inspect Real Estate. It's a goldmine for anyone who's got a property management business.
I think we're going to have to start taking royalty checks from Andrew Reese. I think it's been mentioned on the show a few times. But for anyone who's been living under a rock, Damien, and doesn't know what Inspect Real Estate is, can you enlighten us?
It's an online booking system for tenants to be able to book into view properties whenever they shoot an email to you. So if you receive an email inquiry at 9:30 on a Friday night, at 9:35 that tenant has booked in to see a property. So you just turn up on Monday and show them. You don't have to play phone tag, email tag. It's fantastic.
Damien, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. But if you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I think you can't listen to negative people. There's negative people everywhere and they will try and pull you down. You've just got to keep believing and keep dreaming because I believe that you can do it. If you set your mind to it, you can do it. And no matter what people say, just keep focused on where you're going and don't let the negativity eat at you.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Damien has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Damien Misso. Well, Damien, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Professionals Woody Point?
Our website, weloveredcliffe.com.au. I've got a blog site, iloveredcliffe.com.au, or you can give me a call on my mobile, 0403-044424.
Damien, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.